From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. We'll be taking your calls in just a few moments. We'll also try to take some Facebook questions today. Yesterday was Father's Day, and I got some of the most incredible notes from my kids. I just want to read one or two of them. Here's one from Hank Jr. He says, "Dear Dad, the strength and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is planted deep inside of you. You have touched and been touched by the Holy Spirit. I like the ever-present Joseph of Genesis. You stand in that testing of the Lord. But who the Lord loves, he tests. Oh, does the Lord God love you? The God of our Father stands with you because he loves you and wishes to bring you closer to him. For by putting you through hardship, the Lord graciously gives you the opportunity to share in the suffering of Jesus Christ, and in doing so gives you a chance to partake of his glory. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob loves you for who you are, for you have and will continue to stand firmly in your knowledge of the God of the Bible and the extension of his kingdom. I love you so very deeply. Dad, so very deeply, happy Father's Day. Here is to many, many more. With love in God, your son and best friend, Hank Jr." And of course, I could go through this. It would take a while, wouldn't it, Christina?
It would take a while.
It would take
a
while.
You can do what you want,
but it was fun. I laughed and I cried. And you wrote to me too, Christina.
Naturally.
And, yeah. I mean, this is another one of my favorite cards. I'm not going to read this because you're sitting in the studio, but I'm going to read it. He said that every day is an opportunity and an adventure because life and truth matter. And because life and truth matter, I've come to remember that every day is from the Lord and we can use his gifts given us in our Esther 4:14 moments. And then you say, who knows that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? Of course, talking about Esther. And you actually put the verse in here, Esther 4:14. "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish." I mean, that's a powerful verse in one of the most powerful stories in all of Scripture. And after you gave me this card yesterday, I went back and listened to the whole book of Esther. And the story is absolutely incredible. It is a story of faith. It is a story of deliverance. It is a story of Haman meaning evil to Mordecai. Mordecai becoming what Haman was, the most popular person in the entirety of the land, second only to the king himself. So God changes everything around, but it really hinges on the faithfulness of Queen Esther.
Yeah, that's true. And this ties in, you asked me to say something about Father's Day, and I think that Esther, as well as many other characters in the Bible, you see they don't have fathers. And at church yesterday, I really wanted him to talk about adoption because I know through my work in youth ministry and with working with kids and missions, and some of my friends, they don't have dads. And I think something that's important to remember is that those, you know, of our listeners whose fathers have passed away or who have never known their fathers have a father in heaven that loves them so very much. I have a verse. It's Romans 8:14 through 17. He says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children, Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I just think that is an important point to make for those that don't have dads. I mean, it's such a blessing to have you as my dad, and I couldn't imagine. It's hard when you don't have that. So I just wanted to make that point because I think it's a really important one. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ and adopted into his family. So if you don't have an earthly father, you've never known one, or he's gone to be with the Lord, you still have your heavenly father you can always look to.
Amen. That's beautiful. Let me take a Facebook question. Here's one from John. Is there a documented case where anyone has been to heaven or seen heaven and come back to report it? Well, just so happens that there are a whole bunch of documented cases. The first that comes to mind is Colton Burpo. No, the first that comes to mind is Jesus Christ. Chris, I was talking facetiously about the book that became, you know, a sensation in the Christian world, Heaven is for Real. And if you test what is said in that book in light of Scripture, you find out that either the Scripture is wrong or the book is wrong. And that on a majority of issues, and I've written about that in my book, Afterlife. But at any rate, the Lord Jesus Christ has gone into heaven. John 3:13 says, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Another person that comes to mind is the Apostle Paul. Remember where Paul says in 2 Corinthians, I know a man in Christ? He's talking about himself. It's pretty obvious in the context, who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. So Paul has an encounter in the third heaven. He doesn't come back and write about his 30 minutes in heaven or his 15 minutes in heaven or his 14 minutes in heaven, but he did have a non-normative experience given to us in Scripture, which attests to who he is as an apostle of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, John the Apostle, he had at least a vision of heaven, but there are many pretenders. Think of Muhammad. He goes to heaven. Well, he actually goes through the seven rings of heaven, and then he goes to the hereafter, and he meets Allah, first human, and the only human who's ever allegedly done that. He goes to those seven rungs of heaven and unfortunately finds Jesus is only in the second rung. Pretty interesting story, but again, a story that does not comport with reality. And that's the problem in our day. In our day, we have so many stories that simply do not comport with reality. I mean, if you listen to all the near-death experiences, I can tell you one thing. They can all be wrong, but they can't all be right. Why? Because they're all different. I mean, the Muslim tells the near-death experience from a Muslim perspective. The fundamentalist Christian tells the near-death experience from the fundamentalist Christian reading of the Bible. So there really are streets of gold. And if you have the Mormon, they have their own variation. But this is a phenomenon in our day that ought to be looked at critically because it's not only popular outside the Christian church. Today, it is very, very popular. It's a cottage industry inside the Christian church. Again, I've written about this in my book, Afterlife, Find Out What the Bible Really Says About the End Times and Why It Matters Today. Take a follow-up on this same question. If I do make it to heaven, how do I know I will never sin and start the fall all over again? Well, I mean, let me tell you, first of all, why you know that. Very, very simple. If you read the Scripture tell us that there will be no sin in heaven, and therefore we can stake our lives on what the Scriptures teach us in this regard. The second thing I would say is that we can know beyond the peradventure of a doubt that the problem of sin and Satan will forever have been resolved. In other words, there will be no temptation Not only that, but we will not only have been saved in the port of salvation, as it were, but we will continue on in our journey to union with God, which climaxes when Jesus appears a second time, because at that point, the Lord Jesus Christ will carry a perfected bride over the threshold of Jordan into a new Jerusalem. And then there'll be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things will have become new. So we can be absolutely certain that we will not sin in heaven. We will freely give up the freedom to sin in exchange for freedom from sin. We'll be right back.
Because an increasingly militant, intolerant, and hostile secularism would love to silence the voice of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we ask you to do all you can this month to help us turn up the volume. We are deeply grateful for your partnership at this critical time as we strive to stand courageously for life and truth. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to ensure that we end our financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. God bless you. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many. The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. New atheism advances in the West, and slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical, but we need people willing to stand for truth along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. www.crisisinsight.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we're going to go right to our callers. First up, Charlie in Alabama. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Hey, I just wanted to chime in and let you know how much I enjoy my ride home due to the way you answer questions in a matter-of-factly kind of way. Never shove your opinion. You take what's in the Bible and you tell people the answer. I think that's awesome. I use a lot of it. I deal with recovering addicts because I am one. And I use a lot of what I hear on my way home. I use that in my approach toward people in spreading the gospel. And I wanted to thank you for that. And I did have a question for you. There's a lot of preachers that I don't watch anymore because of discernment. But there's one that I listen to in the morning. So I listen to them in the morning, and I listen to you in the afternoon. And it's Dr. Youssef. What do you know about him and his ministry?
Well, he's in Atlanta, I believe, if I recall. Michael Youssef, in fact, I've spoken at his church. I forget the name of the church now, but it's something cathedral. I know cathedral's in the title, but yeah, terrific, terrific guy. I believe he was born in Egypt, if I remember correctly. But yeah, he is just a terrific guy on all levels.
Awesome. I'm on my way right now to actually go to see a person in the hospital.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to try something that I've never done. I'm going to lay my hands on him.
Oh, wonderful.
And, you know, and ask for God's healing. He's like 6 years younger than I am, and they can't find the bleeding. So.
Oh, my goodness. What is his name?
His name is Jason.
Jason. Okay, yeah. So maybe a lot of other people will pray for Jason as well. I think of what James says, if any one of you is in trouble, he should pray. If anyone happy, let him sing songs of praise. If any of you are sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and to anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is a powerful and effective tool. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins. That passage applies to what you're talking about, Charlie. We're called to pray for the sick, to anoint them with oil, just as James tells us to do that. But remember, we're also told to pray for people's salvation. And what we understand is our prayer and presentation of the gospel doesn't save anyone. It's the Holy Spirit that changes the heart, and therefore, our prayer for the sick is efficacious if it is in concert with the will of God. And to make that plain, you just have to go back one chapter to James chapter 4, where James talks about praying in the will of the Lord, that this is your will, Lord, otherwise I don't want it. And he says that anything else is boasting and bragging. So praying in accordance with the will of the Lord is axiomatic in our prayers, and what you do at the hospital tonight is in obedience to the command of Scripture. So good for you, Charlie.
Well, thank you, Hank, and you keep on, buddy.
Thanks for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Kelly in North Carolina. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
Look, I have a question to ask you.
Sure.
All right, the saying of it is that the person that I'm speaking of, okay, basically, because their husband couldn't come back into the country because he, you know, was an illegal alien, or they came back to America, they met another man, and they were involved with the man within 2 weeks. And they're telling me that they were blessed, that this was a blessing from God. And I'm like, well, how can it be when you're still are married to that man? And I thought that in the Word of God, it talks about that is adultery. But yet the person, she's actually living with this man and have her children involved in it as well.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, Kelly. I mean, I think ultimately, if you come down to the foundational principles, you have to ask yourself, am I a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you adhere to his principles and his precepts. And so if someone is saying, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, but living in a way that is in opposition to his principles and precepts, then the words of their mouth, their worldview, and what they do demonstrates that they are yet living according to a pagan lifestyle as opposed to one that is based on the purchase by Jesus Christ, where you have repented of your sins and you say, I am now following Jesus Christ. I mean, now, this does not mean that a person has everything under control, nor does it mean that a person knows all of the precepts and principles of the Lord. Quite frankly, I don't think any of us know that perfectly. I mean, we are seeking more and more to follow Christ and what he has given to us in terms of the principles of the kingdom. And obviously, the moment we say, I am a participant, then we must follow what we participate in. And so it's not just about a declaration of faith, it's about actually living a life of faith. So I would say in this situation, most certainly what you have is an opportunity for evangelism. And that evangelism takes place not only by the testimony of your lips, as important as that might be, but the testimony of your love as well as the testimony of your life. Let's tag team this a little bit, Christina. How about a Facebook question?
Okay, so we have Denver from Trinidad, and his question is, have you ever been discouraged thinking that no one is interested in hearing the truth of God's word? If so, how did you motivate yourself to keep toiling?
That's an interesting question, isn't it? I mean, I think the first thing that comes to mind when you read that Facebook question is a man, and I think I've told this story before on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a man down in Southern California, Jehovah's Witness. And I remember him coming to my seminars. He'd come to my sermons. If I did any kind of a convention, oftentimes he'd be there. Wherever I was in Southern California, he seemed to show up, always engaging me in dialogue. And it was so fruitless and frustrating, I can't tell you. And I remember thinking one Sunday as I was driving away from a church, I had another encounter with him. I mean, always the last guy, and have this conversation with him. And it's just like nails in the chalkboard. It's like no possibility that this guy will ever get out of what he is entrenched in. And so it's a discouraging thing. Well, it turns out many, many years later, I don't remember the circumstances at this point as I'm sitting in the studio, whether he sent me a letter or whether he called me or whether this was on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I just can't tell you off the top of my head. But I know that this same Jehovah's Witness, I found out, not only came to faith in Christ, but now had a program in a Christian church teaching Christians how to witness to the witnesses. So what's the moral of that story? The moral of that story for me is, look, we don't have to win. We simply need to be faithful. And in that particular case, I don't know all the details. Again, I don't remember all the details, but I likely planted a seed through all our conversations. Someone came by afterwards and watered that seed, and ultimately, God gave the increase.
Amen. I mean, the thing that I thought of immediately was that, you know, God chooses to use us even though he does not need us. So it's like that thing where you're dwelling in the land of antinomy, like you say, where we plan our course, but God directs our steps, as it says in Proverbs 16:9. And I think it's important to remember that even though we could toil after getting someone to know God or to be interested in the gospel, knowing that God will use what we have spoken or use us in conjunction with other people to bring others to Christ is something comforting, that God is in control. When I went to San Francisco, I had a similar experience where there was a homeless man who they came year after year and day after day to this guy. And at first he wouldn't accept the lunchbox, did not want anything to do with it. But gradually over time he accepted the lunchbox, and then he was like, okay, maybe I'll talk to you. And then eventually he heard what they had to say. So I think it's important to remember that the seed analogy, that we can plant seeds that God will water, and that we just have to trust him. And it's not about us, it's about him working through us.
That's a great Facebook question. You know what? You're putting your old dad to shame. Good for you.
I wouldn't say that.
No, you're doing great. I look forward to seeing you next time soon.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.